Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmally. My co-host here, Dave Popowich. We're on opposite ends of the city. Thanks to this pandemic, I've been kind of told to stay at home because of close contact with some of my my workers at the office and at home. Sorry. So I've been staying at home. He's over at the studio, so it's a little bit separated, but I can see him on our video, and well, you still look the same, unfortunately, Popowich.
Yeah, unfortunately, the technology, or at least the technology we're using, can't change the way we look. So you get me for the next hour just the way I am, Faisal. Sorry about that. Hey, let's talk about, we've got a really, really, really important show today. We've got Philip Peterson back with us today. You know, we've had an interesting start to the year. There's been a whole bunch of volatility, which we're going to talk about in this first segment. But how do you position, right? How do you position going forward? What are the expectations? We're going to drill it down with Philip, and we're going to try to find out exactly what his thinking is. So segment two and segment three, you'll want to stick around for those things to make sure you're properly positioned with the proper information. But let's talk a little bit about the markets this week, my friend, because they were pretty wild. There was a lot of volatility, and anybody that thought volatility was gone and put to bed sure got a rude awakening this week.
And it wasn't just one market alone, Dave. It wasn't just the stock market, generally North America, that we look at. Or it wasn't just the bond market because interest rates were all over the place. It was gold. It was cryptocurrency. It was some regular currencies around the world. This was a pan market, and that's every type of market out there that had that volatility there. And so it was very difficult to hide unless you're sitting in cash. This week in some cases, but that also explains why people need to have a better strategy in place and not just just focusing on trying to trade it through by timing the market. And then people got surprised when you look at what happened on Wednesday to Thursday, Thursday to Friday. Wow, it was our recommendation that we always have during these types of markets is get that bottle of Pepto-Bismol because it's going to be a bumpy ride.
Yeah, you know, I think you're on the money with that comment, and there was certainly, I think, concern from investors about what's driving this thing. Let's maybe just spend a little bit of time on this notion of volatility. So over the past couple of weeks, you know, we had, I would say, some disappointing economic news coming out of, say, the United States in terms of jobs numbers and so on and so forth. And then we got hit with a Q1 inflation number that was above expectation. I want to say, though, that the expectation was that we were going to see a spike in inflation. And there's a number of reasons for that, right? Remember, we're now measuring this month, this year, against the same month last year, which was a pandemic month, when we had shut economies down, right? So we were in a disinflation environment back in 2020. There is inflation now. That spread was going to look wider. But it was a little bit wider than what the market was expecting. And we saw that trigger, that wave of fear, of volatility, panic selling, whatever you want to call it, in all of the different markets that you've talked about as the markets try to price that in. Give me your thinking around inflation and whether it's temporary or permanent and, you know, what the market was struggling with there.
Yeah, so when you look at what happened last year around this time, people were getting paid to take commodities and goods. Remember, it was a little bit longer than a year ago, maybe 13 months ago, we were negative price in oil. People couldn't build anything. We were shut down. So people were getting paid to take inventory off the shelf. So lumber, copper, like you were getting paid to do that. It wasn't very expensive. Now, fast forward 13 months later, now we're in 2021, where a lot of the world's economies opening up in different parts around the world. And now they're asking for more demand. In fact, it was the International Energy Agency that came out and said, all that glut that we had, that excess supply, is pretty much gone. Pretty much gone. It's all been used up. Wow, that's a big jump. So that pushes everything up again and to a extreme position. So think of last year, extreme negative. Right now, and probably for the next little while, extreme positive on inflation numbers, on pricing. And now the market's trying to get their footing on what's the right course of action to take. And when you're trying to figure things out, remember the markets don't like, and I'm speaking specifically the stock market doesn't like uncertainty. And so when they don't know exactly where it's headed, volatility kicks in.
Yeah, and going back to this notion of that spike in inflation, the transmission mechanism through the markets often then relates back to interest rates. So, you know, the fear was with the higher inflation that we saw, that it was going to change, in particular, U.S. Fed monetary policy, and it might lead to higher interest rates quicker. And then there's a transmission mechanism that filters through all of these different markets. And as the week progressed, what we saw was the market trying to digest, to some extent, whether this is temporary or transient inflation, like the Fed is suggesting, or is it more permanent? And I think the answer to that question is that there's both elements baked in. We had the extreme you talked about last year. This was an extreme number. It's probably not that. But there are some elements that are going to be more permanent. Now, don't forget that central banks do want inflation to go up to 2%, right? So we have been in a disinflationary environment for a decade or more. So we want some of that positive inflation. Central banks want it. Looks like they're getting some of that. But we also have to recognize that there are the demand profile for many goods and services, certainly goods, has come back at a pace that's more rapid than the supply chains can keep up, right? And so there, that element alone will create some of that temporary inflation, which could be the aberration. And the market is going to have to trade around that, right? I don't know which thesis they're going to go on any given day, but that's the price action that you're seeing.
I like to have a friendly bet with you, my friend. I want to have a friendly bet for a dollar every time we hear we're going back to 1970s inflation. Inflation is out of control. The Fed doesn't know what they're doing. Get ready, everybody. Everything's going up in price, and you're going to ruin your retirement because of it. All these different issues that we're going to hear, I'm going to give you, every time we hear a headline, how about you give me a dollar like that? And every time we hear the total opposite.
I'll take the bet if I'm on that side.
No, you pay me every time the media talks about how it's way over done and it's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. And I'll take the position that I get a dollar every time when the markets or the media is saying that this is going to be the worst inflation in recent modern history. Let's go back to the 20s. Let's go back to the 70s. If we look at the charts and we look at where we are, the inflation rate numbers, we have more tools in our tool belt from central bankers and from market forces to contain this stuff. Governments don't want pricing to go out of whack. The central bankers don't want it to go out of whack. So we have to come back and say, who does it benefit to have crazy inflation? And is this crazy inflation purely because of a demand increase with higher amount of supply of cash? Yes. But how long can that last for? And that's going to be, I think, the trillion-dollar question. And I think when you start giving me all those dollars that I get for every time that we hear this headline, we're just getting closer to a phase-old retirement, because I think it's going to be hundreds of them, if not thousands of them, that are going to say that.
I think you're right. And listen, there's another word that we might hear a little bit. It's called stagflation, right? When we get this underperformance of economic data with inflation, you got to believe there's going to be headlines around that as well. Okay. Listen, we got to take a quick break here, but we have to navigate through this. This is a unique period of time, but there's all kinds of challenges and issues and unique periods of time that we're going to face as people go through their retirement and they still need to fund their lifestyle. Let's talk about how to do that.
Yeah, let's talk all about how do we deal with what's in front of us, inflation and a whole bunch of other concerns like taxes. We're going to talk about that on our seminar Tuesday, May 18th, 7 p.m. live online. You need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
All right. You want to make some sense of this environment? Learn how to position properly to make some money in this environment? Stick around after the break. We've got Philip Peterson joining us. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.